That is so funny, and I hope that's not true for you. Hopefully that's just something to laugh at and not life for you. We're so glad you're here, and I'm so glad to be here. My name's Clay. I'm really, really honored to be with you guys today, and if you're brand new, this might be worth knowing, but we are a church that has multiple locations. We've got a church up in Woodstock and Canton area. Hello, everybody at Watermark. Good to see you. By way of technology, that's pretty cool. And then we've got a bunch of people at Buckhead Church, which is great. I used to actually attend Buckhead Church when I was in school at Georgia Tech. So really grateful for those of you at Buckhead. Everybody at Gwinnett Church, they're our newest church. We're really, really excited about Gwinnett Church. And we are committed to making sure we build you guys a building as well as Watermark. That's going to be really fun to do. Everybody online, want to say hello to you. We're not going to build you a building. So you're online, and we're glad you're here with us. I worked here at North Point for about 5 years, and I worked with high school students, and I got demoted to work with adults, and so that's what I do now. I work up at Browns Bridge, which is our most lake-friendly church, so hello all the great people up at Browns Bridge. So excited about today, and I'm excited about this series. Really, really love this series. It's called My Bad Church Experience. And if you missed last week, I'm telling you, you really ought to go listen to week one. Jeff Henderson, our lead pastor in Gwinnett, kicked off this series, and it was an incredible, incredible message. And you can listen to that message for free on any one of our websites or download it on our podcast. We'd love for you to do that to catch your way up with us where we are in this series. But I think everybody would agree who's going to be involved in this series, Andy included. None of us want your bad church experience to happen today. So I hope today's going to be a really, really good day. I like this message, and I like the direction we're headed, and I love this idea of this series, and we're going to dive into some of the maybe more heartfelt stuff about your bad church experience, because I know plenty of people actually do have legitimate real scars from churches, but I want to talk today about something that's actually, it's kind of light, it's kind of silly, it's kind of funny, and I think everyone can relate to it. Let me ask you a question. Has anyone, by way of hands, at all of our campuses, online included, has anyone ever been bored in church? Yeah. Pretty unanimous right there. I think we've all been bored at one point or another in church. In fact, guy on the fourth row, if you don't mind waking up, yeah, that'd be great. We haven't even gotten started. I'm just kidding. We've all been bored, right? Have you ever had one of those church experiences where you're sitting there and, you know, 5 minutes in, whoever's standing up on stage, it just sounds like the teacher from Charlie Brown, you know, wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Of course, that's a miserable, miserable thing. Where you ask yourself that question, dear God, how long are we going to be here? You know, maybe the first time you've prayed in church is when you ask that question. Or maybe, I don't know what it is for you, what you do. Maybe you make middle to-do lists or make your shopping list. Or maybe you play your favorite round of golf. Hopefully I'm not giving any of you ideas for today. But I know I asked my wife about this. I said, tell me, what was your boring church experience? She said, well, growing up, this is kind of unusual, but she said we had this preacher who would really get going, you know, kind of like a good basketball coach, you know, the deeper into the game, closer the game got, you know, take his jacket off, throw it on the ground, you know. She said, well, this particular preacher would do that every single Sunday. So my wife has three brothers, and she said, we would all sit there and we would time how long it took him to get to the point in his message where he took his blazer off, and then they would make note of it, and they would log it, and they would make pivot tables and spreadsheets about it to figure out how he was doing. And I thought, yeah, it's really, really embarrassing. And she was like, well, just don't share it. And I was like, no problem. So anyway, we all have things we do. And quite honestly, the fact that we're bored in church is not really the issue. Because, and I don't even take it personally as someone who works at a church, because it's a really hard job doing this up here. You know, it's pretty amazing to think about all that we require of the person standing up here on a stage with a microphone. In fact, just to throw out a few things, this is just a sampling, but just think of what we require of this person. We want them to be interesting, right? Caring, because we are in a church. Vulnerable, to be able to open up and share about your life, but also respectable. So probably should have held on to that one. Wish you hadn't shared that. You know, intelligent, to be able to keep people's attention. Creative, right? Transparent, consistent, humorous, innovative, authentic. Well, haven't even gotten to the part about theologically intelligent, you know, and being able to understand the Bible and teach that. And then the toughest one probably is honest, right? Which is why there's probably such a tendency to embellish as a preacher. I mean, you look at this list and you think, no one can do all of these, you know, except for Andy Stanley, obviously. felt like I needed to just throw that out there. But this is really difficult. This is hard. It's hard to keep people's attention in church so that no one would be bored. And honestly, being bored in church is not the real problem. Everybody's going to be bored. You're bored at different times in your life, and that's no sin. It's no problem to be bored. The problem is that the longer you're bored in church, the more you begin to endure church. That's a miserable feeling, right? Where you feel like, hey, I'm bored, but it's worse than that. I'm enduring it now. I mean, now it's just, how long is this going to last? And this is a real problem right here. It's that the longer we endure church, the more likely we are to endure God. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. About what happens when we endure church for so long that we begin to project that feeling onto God. And how unfair is that, you know, for us to say, well, since church is boring, God must be boring. Since I endure church, then I must endure God. Unfortunately, if you find yourself in a place where you feel like you're enduring God, you're probably not enduring a true picture of God. You're probably enduring a picture of God that someone has given you, that someone has handed you, where we have whittled the Almighty Creator God down to this pint-sized, pocket-sized God that we can control. A God who maybe is labeled or described by a list of do's and don'ts, or a checklist that you have to keep, where we can keep score for other people and know how they're doing and how they're not doing. That's not necessarily a picture of God. That's really a religion that we've created. And so while you're enduring church, perhaps you've moved to the category, which I think is even a more dangerous place, where you're just enduring religion. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like, yeah, I mean, I just endure Christianity? In fact, some of you, maybe you would just openly say, I'm not a follower of Jesus. And you'd say, I don't subscribe to that. I'm not down with that. Maybe you're watching us online today, and maybe a friend invited you today, but you would say, yep, I'm not a follower of Jesus. And the reason why you're not is because you've known too many people who were, who endured it. And you thought, they feel so guilty going out on Friday night. I would just rather go out on Friday night and not have to feel guilty about it. Thank you very much. But if I got to endure it, I just may as well not do it in the first place. And for those of you who you call yourself a Christian, you say, yeah, I follow Jesus, I want to be helpful today. And I want today to be a day that helps people who feel like they're enduring their relationship with God. To put it quite simply and directly, this message is for anyone who feels like you are enduring Christianity. Today, this message is for anybody who feels like, yep, definitely not enjoying it, probably enduring it. Today's for you. And here's why. This is quite personal to me, quite honestly. I remember the phase in my life when I began to really grow in my faith, and it was new to me. It's kind of like that dating relationship, you know, when you're falling in love with someone and everything feels so great and the infatuation is so strong. I remember going through that phase in my relationship with God. I couldn't read enough about Him. I remember having conversations with other people about Him. Prayer wasn't a discipline. Prayer was just part of my relationship with Him. I just prayed because we were in a relationship, because we would just talk back and forth, and it was a real two-way relationship. But over time, like anything, the nature of the relationship has a tendency to change. And me, as a professional Christian, I woke up one day realizing that this vibrant relationship that I had with God had become my job and not my joy. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like Christianity is really just something you do, but you almost begrudge it? You almost feel obligated? If there would be no consequences and you could just say, yeah, I think I'm done, I'm out, you might just take that pass? If you've ever felt that way, or if maybe you're feeling that way right now, today's for you. And we're going to look at some words of Jesus. And I think these words are words that you and I, that we can't just read and pass by. No, we've got to read and we've got to be face to face with these words. And I think we have to actually figure out what we think about these words, not because of the words themselves, but because of who's behind the words, because of who Jesus said these words to. Because you see, if you were to stop the disciples and say, hey, would you say you're enduring your relationship with Jesus? They would say, absolutely not. They would say, this is the adventure of a lifetime. I feel like I'm in line for a roller coaster and I can't wait to get on. And I'm hoping that when we get back around, I'll be able to sneak back on and ride it again. No, I'm not enduring it. This is thrilling. And these words that Jesus says are words that are spoken by a man who said, I'm God. He said, I'm here on earth, but I am God. And then people witnessed him being crucified on a cross. People witnessed him dying. People witnessed him being put into a tomb. And multiple hundreds and hundreds of people witnessed a resurrected Jesus. And at the root of our faith, we believe that Jesus really is alive. And that's why you and I have got to pay attention to these words. We have to deal with these words that Jesus says to us about those of us who feel like we may be enduring. It's found in Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says this. He begins this way. He says, come to me. These are perhaps the three sweetest words that Matthew wrote that Jesus said. Jesus just says simply, come to me. It's a really personal invitation. It's an invitation to himself. He says, Jesus, God on earth, come to me. Don't come to a checklist. Don't come to a list of do's and don'ts. Don't come to a system of religion that someone has handed to you. Come to me. You could say it this way. Jesus invites us to a relationship, not a religion. Aren't you grateful for that? Jesus says, I'm not inviting you to a religion. I'm inviting you to a personal, intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. This isn't some whittled down version of God. Jesus says, no, it's me and you, one-on-one. Who is he saying this to? He's saying this to a group of people. After he says, come to me, he says, come to me, all of you who are burdened, all of you who are weary. All of you who are weary and burdened, do you ever felt weary and burdened? Jesus says, well, you specifically need to come to me. Who were these people that were weary and burdened? Well, in this day, they were a group of people who had been handed a religion. It had been passed down generation to generation. And this religion could be described as the yoke of the law. There was this law, this list of do's and don'ts, that had all come from these Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. And around these Ten Commandments, they had created hundreds and hundreds of additional laws to make sure they didn't break the original laws. And it had become so cumbersome, so impossible to keep, that they had actually referred to it as the yoke of the law. And God's people, this Jewish nation, had been weary, had grown weary, and had become burdened. They're trying to keep up. Maybe there were a bunch of them who felt like, you know what, we just can't do it. And the effects of not doing it has created issues in our life. And so we're weary from not doing it, from trying, and we're weary from the consequences of not doing it. And we just can't seem to win. We can't catch a break. Jesus says, well, then that's why you need to come to me. Because if you're enduring, if you're weary, if you're burdened, I've got something for you. This is what Jesus said. He said, I want to give you rest. He said, come to me. Those of you who are enduring, if you're weary and burdened, come to me and I'll give you rest. When I read this just at face value, I immediately thought of that commercial that's on TV right now. You know, where the guy sits at the table with all the little kids, you know, and he asks them a question. He's like, would you like small or would you like big? And all the kids are like, you're an idiot. We'll take big. Thank you. You know, it's kind of like that. It's like, this is a no-brainer. We'll go big. It's as if Jesus is asking something so obvious. He's like, hey, you want weary and burdened? Or do you want rest? Which one do you want? Which one would you choose? Well, Jesus, put it that way, I guess we'll take the rest. He said, I thought so. And then he gives us this word picture. He says, so then, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. In their day, this word picture was quite clear to them. For us, I felt like I needed to give us a little context. This is a yoke, right? This is a yoke that you would put around an animal, and this is an agricultural metaphor that played in that day. I mean, it wouldn't even be out of the ordinary for them to be walking through the town and to see this big ox who was yoked to a cart that was weighed down with all kinds of stuff, and maybe a guy sitting in the back of the cart just whipping that ox, saying, let's go, Myrtle. Little longer, little further. You can do it. Come on. I know it's heavy, but you got to go. Jesus said, have you ever felt that way? He says, that's the way the law can feel. That's the way sin can feel. Jesus said, all yokes aside, this is serious business. I'm sorry, I just had to do that. But Peter actually said it this way in Acts 15 at the Jerusalem Council. Peter said this. He said, now then, why are you trying to test God by putting on the Gentiles a yoke that you yourself can't even bear? I love that. Peter's like, you want to put on the Gentiles a yoke that if you had the choice, you would take the yoke off. But you're so upset, frustrated, obligated, and begrudging that you have to carry this yoke that you want to put it on them as well. Peter says, come on, don't do that to them. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Galatians 5, verse 1. He says, it's for freedom that Jesus has set you free. He's blowing up on the inside going, I can't believe it, but Jesus has set us free. And then he says, so stand firm and don't be burdened by the yoke of slavery to sin. He's like, look, sin enslaves you. So why would you put yourself under that yoke? He's saying, don't do that. Remember what our Savior said when he said, put on my yoke. Jesus is saying, step under me. Fix your cart to me. Come side by side and connect yourself with me. Put your faith and your trust and your hope in me. Follow me. And he says, and then I'll tell you what will happen. You'll begin to learn from me. You know what you'll learn? You'll learn that I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to get you. He says, you'll learn that I'm actually gentle and I'm humble in heart. Think about this. Think about this at all of our campuses. This is God in flesh speaking, describing himself to us. The Apostle Paul told the church at Colossae in Colossians, he said, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God's like? Jesus is his icon. Look at him. That's his image. Jesus says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. Meaning, I have taken on the attributes of those who are lowly, those who feel oppressed, those who feel beat down, those who would say in life, yeah, it just hasn't worked out for me. Jesus says, I know what you feel like. If you're feeling like that today, Jesus says, I know what you feel like, and you need to get under my yoke and learn from me. And what you're going to learn is that I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And then he says, again, he says, and I'll give you rest. You'll find rest in your soul. Anybody want rest in your soul? Yeah, I'll have an extra dose of that. Rest means refreshment. Jesus describes himself as the living water. He says, if you drink from me, you'll never have to drink again. If you drink from me, you'll never be thirsty again, Jesus says. He says, how can I say it enough? You run after all of the other cisterns and wells that leave you wanting, but come to me and I will quench your thirst and your soul will be refreshed. But only when you get under my yoke. Then he caps it off with this. He says, in summary, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, If your relationship with God feels difficult, you're doing it wrong. Jesus said, there is a load. There are things you have to do. But when you come under my yoke, it's easy. It's light. The things that once felt difficult that I thought, God, there's no way you're going to have that. God, there's no way you're going to get me to do that. People are now saying, under his yoke, I find joy in that. Under his yoke, I actually want to do that. Jesus says, that is what it looks like when you come to me. Maybe Jesus in general was trying to say, I want you to enjoy me. I don't want you to endure me. If you're enduring your relationship with God, I don't know that you're doing it right. Seems like Jesus is saying, no, I want you to enjoy the relationship and not endure a religion. You could say it this way. God, our Creator, our Father, he's a relationship to be enjoyed, not a religion to be endured. God wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to enjoy it. He doesn't want you to find religion and then feel like you have to endure it. So if you're enduring it, if I ever find myself enduring it, it's not God's problem. It's me doing it wrong. Jesus says, I want to help you. So would you come to me and let me help you find that I'm a relationship that you can actually enjoy? Maybe this would help you. This helps me. I want to give you just some real specific word pictures. This sign right here will represent enduring religion. So this will represent all the things that we feel like we have to do where we find ourselves enduring religion. And we'll allow this sign to represent what it would look like for us to enjoy God, the way Jesus seemed to intend for us to do in Matthew 11. Let's just take some of these quintessential things about our faith, maybe. Prayer. You guys interested in prayer, you know? MC Hammer said, I got to pray just to make it today. Do you feel that way? MC Hammer. When's the last time we quoted him in church, huh? Not nearly enough, quite honestly. Prayer. You know what it looks like to endure religion when it comes to prayer? You ever had the thought, man, I just need to pray more. I mean, I know I'm not disciplined enough. I need to pray more, you know? I mean, I feel guilty because I don't pray enough. And then I come to church and Andy does that message about praying with your spouse. And now I feel like doubly guilty because it's like, not only do I not pray, but now I don't pray with my spouse. So it's like, you know, wrong and wrong, you know, all right, well, I'm really missing it. Enduring religion says, yeah, I just need to pray more. Enjoying God? Enjoying God says, I miss my Father. I just want to connect with my Father. You know that Paul said that we could actually call God Abba, which is the most intimate, personal term for a father. He says, you can call God Dad. That's the kind of relationship God wants to have with you, where he's your dad, he's Pops. He wants to have that kind of personal relationship with you. It's not about enduring it. It's about enjoying a personal relationship with him. What about this? Bible? You ever had the feeling like, oh man, I need to read the Bible more? I hear people talk about it and they just know so much about it. I don't know anything about it. And I did that read through the Bible plan in a year and I got through Exodus, and that was kind of interesting because there's like a sea parting and stuff. But then I got to Leviticus, and man, I was tapped out. I mean, what in the world is going on there? That's enduring religion. Where you just feel like, oh, I just feel guilty. I feel like I need to do that. I know it's the right thing to do, and I just feel like I need to. So I'm trying to make myself do it. And you know what enjoying God is? Enjoying God says, I just want to know more about my Father. I just want to know more about Jesus. I can't get enough. I just want to know more about him. Maybe you ought to try just reading through one of the Gospels. Not for discipline, not for habit, but to learn more about Jesus. Just enjoy him. I would imagine that is probably what you did when you first came to faith. You just thought, man, I can't read it enough. I just want to know, man, Jesus did what for me? Come on, I don't even believe it. God, I mean, if I could see the world the way he sees it, I know it would change my life. I just want to enjoy him. Here's another one. We talk about group a lot at our churches. And we have lots of people in group. And I'd love to know, anyone who's in a group, have you ever prayed this prayer on the night of group? Like, let's say it's Tuesday night, that's when you do group, and it's about 6 o'clock, and you just kind of keep looking at your phone, praying, God, I hope it gets canceled tonight. Have you ever Oh, it's just me? Oh, that's awkward. No, I think we've all prayed that. Because sometimes group can just feel like enduring religion, where you're just like, yeah, I just do it because I guess I'm just supposed to do it, you know? I don't know. I mean, Andy's always talking about his group, and my wife's always like nagging me about group, and so I'm just like, all right, I'll do it. I'll get in a group. And then you get in it, and you know what happens over time for people that really love their group? You know, we have thousands of people in all of our churches that would say, I don't know what I would do in my life if it weren't for my group. You know, people say that. You know, we have lots of people that, yeah, they might think, ah, every once in a while, I kind of wish it was canceled, I could use a break. But in general, man, these people are literally life vests for me. And they're quirky. They're kind of funny. They're sometimes a little bizarre. But you know what? So am I. And I really like my group. You know, there's people that really feel that way. And did you know that you could feel that way as well? Did you know that God wants to use group? He wants to use community in your life to allow you to grow. And did you know that God wants to use your life in other people's lives to help them grow? And did you know that when you keep to yourself and when you don't jump in a group, you are robbing other people of the joy of getting to know you? See, God seems to think that we can actually enjoy our relationships with each other. Here's another one. What about serving? See, some of you are thinking, man, I have sat through this church, any one of our churches, for a long time, and it's amazing that I've gotten by this long without serving, because we talk about it a lot, you know, and you've kind of figured out that time of the year when we're going to do that message and, you know, lock the room and make you sign up and stuff, and you're like, yeah, I know when that's coming. And I'm conveniently out of town, you know? And you think, man, there's no way I'm going to serve. That sounds just weird and tough and hard. And yeah, it's cool you get a t-shirt, but that's about it, you know, for some of you. But you know, there's some people that serve around here. You know, there's thousands of people that serve around here. And they find joy in it. They actually enjoy it. They see it as a way for them to express their gratitude to God in the lives of other people. There's people that have literally found ways to give back here, but also with some of our local community partners. And they have found Jesus' words to be true, where he said, when you pour your life out, that's when you'll find life. Life is not found by holding on to your life. No, that's when you lose your life. But when you give your life away, that's when you find life. It's actually amazing. And there's some people that literally love it, and you can too. You don't have to endure it. You know when you ask people about serving, you say, hey, what do you love about it? You know what they tell you about? I mean, yeah, they tell you about the donuts and the coffee and the amazing gift cards that we give them all the time and how we shower them with love and stuff. But beyond that, you know what they tell you about? They tell you about a relationship with somebody that's changed their life. They tell you about how God has used their life and somebody else's life to help change their life. God says, yeah, see, now you're getting it. That's how you enjoy me. Here's the last one. And I knew you probably knew it was coming. I thought about just putting dollar signs on here just to be completely overt and direct. And some of you, when you think about church, maybe this is all you think. And if that's true, I'm really sorry, because that's not what this is all about. See, we don't want your money. I mean, just suspend giving here for a second. I just want to talk about giving outside of church, all right? I know some of you maybe think, oh man, I really should do that more. And if I was smarter and I leveraged my accountant more, I could probably figure out how to get better tax returns. And man, I really got to figure that out, you know? That's enduring religion. You know what some people think though, who give a lot, who are really generous people? They think, man, I'm so glad that God allowed me to be a part of the life of that child. That child, maybe through Compassion or World Vision or one of these amazing organizations that sponsor kids, they are people that are really generous that give to one of those regularly, and they think, I'm so glad that I do that. There are some people that think, I'm so grateful that God allowed me to be a part of building that orphanage. There are people that think, man, I'm so glad that God allowed me to support that missionary, send them across the world, and let a group of people who would never have heard otherwise hear the name of Jesus and find out about his unmistakable, amazing grace that I've experienced in my own life. And God has allowed me to be a part of that with other people. There are people that actually enjoy giving. Seems crazy. And I know what some of you are thinking. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know. I mean, especially if you're not a believer in Jesus, you're thinking, yeah, those are all the reasons why I don't want to join, why I don't want to follow, because I don't want to have to do any of that. Can I let you off the hook for a second? This goes for anybody who's a follower of Jesus, or even if you're not. Did you know that God is not going to make any one of us do any of these? Did you know that? That you don't have to do any of these. That's kind of cool. But God says, you know what? If you come under my yoke, you may just want to do some of these. You may just want to do all of these. That's the yoke of Jesus. He says, it's real. And if you come unto me, especially those of you who feel like you're having to endure, I'll give you rest. I mean, if you're God, what else would you want for people? I mean, if you're God and you've asked people to think of you like a father, what else would you want of people? Would you want people walking around going, yeah, my relationship with God, I'm going to just endure it, you know? I mean, those of you who you have parents maybe that are still alive, I mean, do you think your parents would be upset if they overheard you saying, yeah, I endure my relationship with my mom? I mean, as a parent, can you imagine how awful that would feel? To think, yeah, my kids, they don't really enjoy me, they just endure me. I mean, they come home for the holidays because I make them feel so guilty if they don't. I mean, it's miserable, right? Jesus said, the church is my bride. So he says, I want you to think of me like a husband and a wife. Jesus is the husband, the church is his bride. Imagine that in your relationship with your spouse. If you think, enjoy my spouse, I wouldn't go that far. Endure now. That is true. I mean, who wants to be in that kind of marriage? Jesus says, not me. That's not the way I designed you. He says, I want you to enjoy me. I don't want you to have to endure me. Are there things that are going to be tough? Sure there are. But come under me, and I will make them lighter. And I will teach you how to go from enduring religion to enjoying a life-giving relationship with your Creator. So if that's you today, and you would say, yeah, I'm bored in church, I want to give you just two things that I think just real specific that might help you. Things that are going to require you to actually do something. But if you'd say, yeah, I'm bored, here's just a couple things. Here's the first one right here. Maybe you just need to challenge yourself. You know that people who are challenged are rarely bored. People that have a hill to climb, you don't stop them and say, hey, what's going on? They don't say I'm bored. They say, no, I am determined and I can't wait and it keeps me up at night and I'm thrilled about it and I'm climbing that mountain. Maybe you need to challenge yourself. Maybe you need to serve somewhere. Maybe it's time for you to get out of your seat and allow God to leverage the gifts that he's given you. Pour back into somebody else's life. Maybe not even in this building, in this church, at any one of our churches. Maybe God wants you to pick one of our community partners and go the extra mile with them and say, hey, tell me your greatest problem. I want to figure out how we can solve it. Challenge yourself. Here's another one. Change your scenery. Now, I don't necessarily mean go to another church, but if that's what it takes, I would rather you go to another church than drop out of church. So maybe you do need to change the scenery. Maybe you need to sit somewhere different. I don't know. You know God's not boring. I mean, he created all the snowflakes, and none of them are alike. How beautiful. He's an insanely creative God, and he says, hey, if you're bored, maybe you need to do something different. Maybe you need to serve somewhere differently. Maybe, this would be amazing, Maybe you need to bring someone else, someone who's way far away from a relationship with Jesus. And maybe you need to bring them into any one of our churches. And then watch the way you engage differently in our church. That'll change your scenery. And it may be the thing you need to get you out of that boring cycle that maybe you find yourself in. Because a boring church will, at some point, cause you to endure church. An enduring church, unfortunately, moves people into enduring religion, to enduring Christianity, to even feeling like they're enduring God. And God says, you know what? I'm not a religion to be endured. I'm a relationship to be enjoyed. And so maybe today you need to accept Jesus' invitation when he says, hey, come. Come to me. How personal. How present. Come now. Don't wait. Come now. How simple. Just come. You don't have to get it cleaned up. You don't have to get it fixed. Just come now. Follow. Trust. Believe. And watch me begin to take the things that were once really difficult for you and allow you to find joy. Allow me to take you from enduring religion to enjoying the life that God meant for you to live. Enjoying a relationship with your Creator. But it's up to you. He's not going to make you do it. You've got to decide. You've got to answer his call to come. I'd love to pray for us at this point. God, that is really simple. And you made it simple, God. We've made it more complex than that. But Jesus himself, the image of the invisible God, said, look, it's as easy as just answer this. Just come. So God, the person here today that is in a position where they feel like, yeah, I don't know that I've ever put my faith in Jesus, would you give them the courage to do that even right now? Maybe they would ask somebody that they came with, or maybe talk to one of our amazing volunteers at any one of our churches. God, I know that in all of our lives, we all have things that are difficult to do. And enduring is a virtue. You want us to endure circumstances, but you never meant for us to endure you. So God, would you help move the things in our life that are difficult, that we find hard to do? And God, under the yoke of Jesus, would you allow us to find joy in those very things? God, would you take our bad church experiences and use it in our lives to bring us to an intimate, personal relationship with an almighty God? Thank you for Jesus, because without him, none of this is possible. We pray all this in his name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being here today, and we'll see you next week for part 3 of my bad church experience. See you guys later.